Well, I love the metaphor that Jane Zepka presents of our communities being like an odd conglomeration of instruments, free-floating musicians, looking for other free-floating musicians with which to make music, each of us with a unique instrument and style, from the theremin to the electric violin, and each eager to bring our own voice and our contribution into creating together one joyful noise band. And yet she gets to the end of her reflection and leaves us with this. Together, when from wherever we are, we support the cause of liberal religion and all it stands for, when we ground ourselves in our solid religion, when we share Unitarian Universalism with those who need and want to hear about it, suddenly we're a church. And I find myself wanting to say, wait, tell me more about that solid religion that we ground ourselves in that makes us such an amazing church. I want to ask this wise and lifelong UU, wait a minute, what exactly is the cause of liberal religion and all it stands for? Of course, I'm not asking this because I personally am unsure of the answers and need to have explained to me, but I'm just curious about what her answers might be, how she would express it to the masses of poor readers out there who would be left dangling at the end of her essay. We do make a joyful noise together, and that's wonderful and amazing. And of course, it's hard to know sometimes whether the operative word is joyful or simply noise. And I think, as fun as it is, perhaps neither joyfulness or noise are quite enough in and of themselves, or even together. So the question remains, what in truth is the content of our music? This is the perennial question. What is the core content of our faith? Or more typically put, what is Unitarian Universalism? Or what do Unitarian Universalists believe? And these questions, as we all know, are not easy to answer. In fact, they may never be answered in a final way. And this makes us the butt of jokes. A Simpson episode once had a scene set in an ice cream social at their American Reform Presbyterian church. And Lisa asks the Reverend Lovejoy, what flavors do you have? And Reverend Lovejoy replies, well, chocolate, vanilla, strawberry, and our new Unitarian flavor ice cream. And Lisa, the ever enthusiastic one about all things liberal and progressive, says, oh, I'll have that. And Reverend Lovejoy hands her an empty bowl. And Lisa says, but there's nothing in there. And Reverend Lovejoy says, exactly. We're disparaged, both affectionately and not so affectionately, for two supposed faults. Actually, we're disparaged for many more than just two faults, but here's two to begin with. Believing in nothing and believing in everything. In fact, if Unitarian means one, and Universalist means everything, that would suggest that a UU is someone who believes in one of everything. Which, it follows, would create such a diffuse and indiscriminate belief system as to be meaningless. One smarmy joke describes a UU as someone who thinks whatever is a valid theological position. And another says, a UU is like a Quaker, only with attention deficit disorder. It's one of my own pet peeves when I hear people say that UUs believe in all the religions, and even more erroneously, that we practice all the religions. It's really a kind of ridiculous misconception if you think about it for more than half a second. How could we possibly believe in all the world's religions and practice them simultaneously or even sequentially? Honor what we can honor in them, yes. Respect their right to be, yes, which is more than what some religions allow. Unitarian Universalists ought to be primarily about the knowledge and practice of Unitarian Universalism, which has its own intellectual and spiritual lineage, its own premises. And we need to study and learn that lineage and those premises, and they can't be summed up in a thumbnail. That's the challenge right there, is that we have to know our own tradition. We have to integrate our own tradition. We need to know the history and how we got to be where we are today. We have our own rituals, although this is a living tradition, meaning that it is always growing and always evolving. But our relationship to the world religions is that we seek to discover the uniting and universal truths expressed in the world's great religious traditions, the uniting and universal truths contained in them, those truths which express the unity and universality of human experience and the human spiritual and moral search. So the Golden Rule is a good example of this. It can be found in some form in every spiritual and religious tradition, but it doesn't belong to any of them. It's a uniting and universal moral ideal amongst human beings that we should treat others as we ourselves want to be treated. We humans don't always achieve this ideal, but it's a universal principle to which we can appeal in the work of peacemaking, in the worthy task of building unity and common ground in human communities. So the fact that we recognize that the Golden Rule is present in Islam does not mean that we practice Islam. But that we recognize that the Golden Rule is present in Judaism doesn't mean that we practice Judaism. We lift out of these traditions the universal and uniting principles that human beings share in their spiritual and moral search. It's true that there occasionally appear in our worship borrowed rituals and hymns and prayers and scriptural references imported from traditions quite different from Unitarian Universalism. And we need to be very careful about those borrowings. When we appropriate without understanding the tradition or the culture from which it comes, making it mean only what we want it to mean, and not appreciating what it actually means to those whose tradition it is, then we should be criticized. And we did such borrowing in our opening hymn with Over My Head, which comes from Christian gospel. In fact, we borrowed very discourteously and irreverently when we sang that song, but it's April Fool's Day, and making fun is allowed today. But only today. Next week, it's down to the reverent business of Easter. But wait, do Unitarian Universalists believe in Easter, the resurrection? Well, there are a great many opinions about this, which leads to another characteristic of Unitarian Universalists that get a lot of flack. What is a Unitarian Universalist? Someone who approaches every question with an open mouth. What do you get if you put two Unitarian Universalists together? Three opinions. How can you tell a Unitarian Universalist? You can't. They already know it all. Or this one, a sign at a UU church that read, "Bible study after service today. Bring your own Bible and a pair of scissors." And why are UU congregations often not very good singers? Because they're always reading ahead to see if they agree with the next line. The part about agreeing with the next line, I think, maybe is true of Theodore Parker Church, but somehow we manage to be good singers anyway. Or this story. The children in a UU church class were drawing pictures, and the teacher asked one, "Well, what are you drawing there?" "I'm drawing a picture of God," said the child. "But nobody really knows what God looks like," suggested the teacher. "They will when I'm finished with my picture," said the little girl. Or my favorite one on this topic. A visitor came to a Unitarian Universalist church, and as she sat through the sermon, she became increasingly incredulous and incensed at the ideas being spouted by the preacher. After the sermon, a church member asked the visitor, "So how did you like it?" And she said, "I can't believe half the things that minister said." And the old, wizened UU said, "Great, you'll fit right in." Yes, UUs are free and independent thinkers. We tend to be quite vocal about it. We love to discuss juicy topics and wrangle with challenging ideas to engage each other's viewpoints. And UUs do not like being told what to do or what to think by any authority figure, or really by anyone at all, for that matter. This quality of free and independent thinking can be exhilarating in community and makes for energy and creativity and full ownership of our religious life in community when it is balanced with mutual respect, compassion, deep mutual listening, and thoughtful dialogue. It can also be obnoxious and arrogant when those humbler qualities are missing, And so it's up to us to consider what kind of reputation we create for Unitarian Universalism through our conversation with others. It's up to us to be balanced in our conversation, speaking respectfully, appreciating the wisdom of difference, and listening fully. So by listening, I don't mean just clenching one's teeth and planning what you're going to say as soon as the other person stops talking. Personally, I like what a UU t-shirt has to say about this idea. And it expresses the idea with conviction and independence of thought and humility. It reads, "I am a Unitarian Universalist, and the bedrock of my faith is an unshakable belief that your guess is as good as mine." While now this may sound as flippant and dismissive as the usual jokes, I think it gets to the heart of some beautiful things that UUs actually do believe. We believe in being open to new truth, always emerging. Truth is never fully closed, never permanently arrived at. And that new emerging truth may very well be coming from the person sitting next to you. UUs believe that we can learn and we can expand in wisdom by listening and dialoguing with those who think differently from ourselves. UUs believe in the spirit of searching and in the sense of wonderment. We know that the universe is so fast, so vast, and so wonderful that the cosmos is miraculous and mysterious, and that reality is not finally knowable, and that our understanding is always growing out of the fertile ground of discovery. And so I would say Unitarian Universalism is not so much a set of precepts as a way of being in life. It's a way, it's a path, and it's a process, not a thing. And that's why it's so difficult to sum it up in laws and creeds. Now there's a couple more categories of jokes that I'll just touch briefly on. One is our view of the afterlife. Many, many jokes about this. A UU died, you've heard me say this one before, a UU died and discovered himself standing between two enormous pearly doors, and one says, "Heaven," and the other says, "A discussion about heaven." And in truth, for some UUs, a discussion about heaven is truly heaven. A tour bus full of UUs was seen in heaven visiting the sites, but all the folks in the bus were arguing about whether they were really there. Or this story about a young UU. A little girl was sitting on her front steps crying, and a kind lady passing asked her what the matter was, and she said, "My kitty died." And the kind lady said, "Well, honey, don't worry. Your kitty is with Jesus now." And the little girl got a confused and kind of grossed out look on her face and said, "But what would Jesus want with a dead cat?" My favorite one-liner is this one. A Unitarian Universalist is someone who believes in life before death. And that really says it. Because of our non-creedal, free-thinking, full-of-opinions way of being, there will never be a consensus among UUs about what happens after we die. It's part of each person's unique spiritual journey to seek an approach to that mystery that gives their life meaning. What we can agree on is that it matters profoundly how we live. Our religious and spiritual life is focused upon living in a way that creates more love, more freedom, more honesty and authenticity, more justice, more peace, more balance, more creative and beautiful diversity, more verdancy and abundance of life. How we go about that will be as various as all the colorful individuals who sit in our pews and make our vibrant congregations. And each of us is allowed and encouraged to find the way that is authentic to him or her, or here, to use the gender-neutral term. And I'll finish with this one last classic. Why did the Unitarian Universalist cross the road? To support the chicken in search of its own path.